Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So the next set of questions that I'm going to answer are from Discord. There we go. We have a mailbag category here on in the Lakers Lounge Discord, which I guess I could share here. If you guys want me to share it, I'll invite people, copy, and I will put that here. So if you guys want to join the Discord, you guys can. It's been really fun to connect with listeners in this way. But the first question that I saw was back on October 9th.
Yep.
For the next one, I guess. But hypothetically, if Kentucky got an NBA team, how hard would it really be to get Nikola Jokic to move there, considering all the horse racing they have? Win-win, Denver gets worse, and the East gets a team and a Hall of Famer. I don't think Jokic is ever leaving Serbia. Like, you know, by all accounts, you know, with anybody I've ever spoken to, it sounds like Jokic goes there and he just fully immerses himself in being home in Serbia. So, which is to be expected, right? It is very difficult to move for work and try to restart your life wherever it is that you wind up. I say that as somebody who moved from Southern California to Texas, which is a fraction of the distance that we're talking about. There is no language barrier. Well, depending on the people I talk to, some people talk way too much like this, and it's just accent gets thick, and there is a little bit of translating that needs to be done. But like if I, and the fact that we moved here and had Jen's sister as somebody like, and I have a cousin out here as well, a few cousins out here as well, who helped us kind of ingratiate ourselves into the community. And then the neighborhood that we live in is this neighborhood of new built homes, which didn't have any cliques when we all moved in. So we all became very close, and that certainly helped. Those are like, it was an ideal situation for me moving from California to Texas. And it's still really difficult. I haven't seen my parents since the summer. And I hate it. It sucks. I was supposed to fly back next weekend for my 20-year reunion, but wasn't able to get away because we have all of the preparations that need to be done for the beginning of the season. And that meant that I now have to wait until Christmas to see my parents. That's the longest it will have ever been since COVID that I haven't seen my parents. So it's tough. So whether the team is in Kentucky, maybe it's a slightly better difference. Maybe he'd have a little bit more interest in Kentucky over Denver. But if I were like Denver's ownership, I would just open a race course there for racing horses and allow Jokic to, you know, he has like a forever bankroll there at that at that raceway. But it's a fun question. But I don't, if he ever leaves, it is interesting. There are some people like, close to that situation who do kind of look at it and say like, I wonder where he would go. Some people say like Miami, some people say the Lakers. Most people though say that they don't think he's ever going anywhere. All right. Next question here. Also from the, Discord is 2 weeks with Pay, who says they already asked this on Twitter. Do you think there's any interest in bringing back Jay Huff? Aaron had implied in the past that mistakes were made in letting him go. He's on a Grizzlies two-way right now, so there might have to be some G League trade maneuverings. But since he is healthy and able to play on day one, Huff seems like a more worthwhile flyer than Christian Coloco at this point. So I looked into the Coloco situation, and there is a little bit of doubt kind of creeping in that this guy is actually going to get cleared. Not saying that he definitely isn't going to. I'm just saying that the Lakers are kind of bracing for however this is going to play out. And I do kind of wonder, the longer they are made to wait, if they ever just kind of cut bait and say, look, like Colin Castleton can't be our only insurance when it comes to bigs, in case Jackson Hayes gets hurt. But until Hayes gets hurt, there's no real need to do anything like that. Now, you know, two-way contracts are a lot easier to waive and to get out of than obviously guaranteed NBA contracts. There are some minutia involved with acquiring a two-way player who's on a two-way contract with another player. Normally you have to make that player an actual NBA player in order to get them out of that situation. Kind of like, you know, if you have interest in an assistant coach from one situation, normally it takes a promotion to bring them from a different team. And, you know, that's what it would be like with Jay Huff. I don't know. I want to see more from Jay Huff on an NBA floor before, because he's been somebody who Lakers fans and like, you know, all kinds of fans, I guess now at this point, because Grizzlies fans are excited about him too. Everybody keeps on saying how great he looks in these little tight windows, but like, every time I see him on an NBA floor, he looks a little slow, you know, very unathletic. I'm not saying that he definitely isn't going to be an NBA player, but I'm fine with the Lakers basically trying to wait this out with somebody who we've seen as an actual NBA player. He was starting in Toronto one of the years that they made the playoffs. I don't know if they made a run, but they made the playoffs, and Coloco started some games on that team. So I personally think the upside is still worth it to wait this out and wait for Christian Coloco to either just to know one way or the other, whether or not he's going to get cleared. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be the direction that they go in here. And any center that they actually bring in would be of a greater impact, I believe, than like a Jay Huff or a two-way contract. If they get to like December 15th, when you can stack veteran minimum contracts and you could stack enough of them, plus like Jalen Hood-Schifino or something like that, and whatever draft picks that you have to send to Utah for like Walker Kessler or anywhere for center X, I think it's more likely they do that than like cut Coloco right now while they wait for his whole situation to be cleared up. Let's see. Ground Glass writes, coach has talked a lot about really wanting to have 7 to 8 guys who he knows he can play in the playoffs. He also said he plans on having a 9-man rotation in the regular season. Where do you think we stand on both of these fronts? Who are the current guys you would trust in the playoffs? And where do you see the most pressing need for an upgrade in the rotation? All right. So I would probably say the 9 guys, I'll start with the 7 or 8 guys that I think the Lakers, or, you know, see if we can get to 7 or 8 guys that I think the Lakers can trust in a role in the playoffs. Man, the Cowboys are getting freaking mollywopped. So obviously LeBron and AD, there's 2. I trust Austin in the postseason, there's 3. I know it was not great for Rui this last time, but I've seen him play well enough. And I think that the whole Darvin thing was so bad that like he just never felt comfortable playing for him. So there's 4. We haven't seen it yet, but he's looked good at basically every level to this point. And I think he would play such a narrow role that I could see Max being fine in the postseason. So there's 5. Outside of that, because like D'Lo, man, D'Lo, like, I'll trust for a little while, but I'll always know at some point he's going to turn into a pumpkin, and that makes me nervous. So I guess that's like 5.5. And that, you know, that now you're like, you know, can Cam Reddish? No. Dalton Kincaid as a rookie? No, I'm not seeing that right now. I haven't seen enough from Dalton to be able to say that. So I don't think so. Jackson Hayes, probably not. So maybe he's like another half. And now you have 6 or so, which is lower than the 7 or 8 that JJ is hoping for. And obviously less than the nine man rotation. So, like, you know, where do we think we stand on those fronts? Or like, you know, how do you, what's the most pressing need right now? I still think the most pressing need, I really like Max Christie, and I hope he winds up being legit. But, like, you need a better player on the perimeter defensively next to Austin. And you need to figure out, is Austin a point guard or is he a shooting guard? And once you figure that out, once you come to that conclusion, you have to upgrade the player next to him. So if you don't think he's a point guard, then you need to get a point guard who is, you know, better defensively and more steady with the ball in his hands and allows Austin to operate off of the ball more. If you think Austin can handle point guard duties next to LeBron, which I think eventually, I you know, that's my hope, and this is the highest upside here for the Lakers, then you got to go out and get a guy who can play the 2 or 3 positions, knock down threes, and be a good defender. You know, 2, 3, or 4, I would say, just depending on the lineup. And, you know, just like a bigger shooting guard who plays physically and knocks down shots and, you know, uses their defense to impact games, because that tends to translate at different levels of the sport. So that's what I would do. The next kind of, and this is like, maybe this, you can make an argument, this might be even more pressing than the stuff that I just talked about. The Lakers do need to, like, really need to focus on their backup center spot. And if they can go out and get a backup center who plays well enough next to Anthony Davis that you can have LeBron slide up to the 3, LeBron or AD slides up to the 4, and then you play the center there, and you have a rim protecting big, and specifically a really good defensive rim protecting big that allows Anthony Davis to, like, join that 1 through 4 switching type defensive approach, and you know, makes up for Austin and D'Lo on your you know, as your you know, offensive and defensive backcourt. Like, that's something that I would say. So it's probably like a tie. And then, you know, always get more wings. All, like, just generally speaking, it's just good to go out and get wings, especially with how much we don't know about the Vanderbilt injury situation. So I would say that those are the two main needs. You know, the likeliness or the likelihood that the Lakers are able to figure that out and get players who fit those molds is pretty tough given the assets that they're working with. They would have to get creative, and they just have forgotten how to get creative on a lot of these things. All right, the next ones, I did ask for questions on Twitter, so I'll answer. I'm going to try to get as many of those as I can, which means that I have to answer these a little bit faster. So I'm going to pick up the pace. So 2 weeks with Pay, bringing back Huff. I have interest, but I think I would probably lean waiting out Koloko first. All right, World Verse Them writes, what are your thoughts on JJ designing a defensive coverage catered to Vando's strengths? Also, what are some tips/tricks to succeed in sports journalism? I'm a journalism major, aiming to become a basketball beat reporter for my career. I'll answer the second one first, just really quickly. You need to pay as much attention to the market as you pay to the sport. And I got into this wanting to be a columnist, wanting to be like a beat reporter and all of that stuff. And then I looked at the landscape of things and I was like, I think podcasting is going to be the next big thing. Doesn't mean I would stop writing altogether, and I haven't, but I thought that, you know, podcasting there was a ton of market inefficiency in podcasting, and I pursued that, and that has allowed me to stay in this industry even despite some setbacks and just turmoil throughout the industry, right? So that would be one thing. And then, you know, find your niche, whether that be a specific writing style, whether that be a specific tweeting style, whether that be a sport that's up and coming, like Sabrina, who is on this channel regularly and I consider brilliant at all of this. She saw, and she's also very passionate about women's sports, but she saw an opportunity in covering women's basketball because she saw the sport growing like crazy. She saw more people kind of investing into the sport, and she figured she would ride that wave too. And it has opened up some great opportunities for her. So, you know, find your niche and study the market and stick with it, because the last point here is that, like, this industry is going to beat the crap out of you emotionally, physically, in some cases, psychologically. You're going to be told no far more often than you're going to be told yes. And you got to learn to deal with disappointment in this industry, because it happens so damn often. As far as the first question there, JJ designing a defensive coverage catered to Vando. You can't do that because I don't know that Vando is going to stay healthy enough. Not just that he might not get healthy in short order, but that he'll stay healthy. He's had foot problems for a really long time, and foot problems don't tend to go away as quickly as we would like. Who would be your guess for realistic center targets? I'm going to come back to that one, Marshawn World, and make that like a full-on topic as we hear more and more and more about the you know, what the Lakers are trying to do in that regard. So apologies, but you know, here we are. KR Swish, I don't know if you've addressed it, but will Aaron be back? Will he? At some point, I hope so. I really, really hope so. When? I don't know. It's not up to either of us is what sucks. Like, because if it was up to either of us, he would be here with us every Friday still. It just doesn't look like that's how it's going to play out. So we'll keep on pursuing it. I'm still going to keep bugging him about one day coming back on the show. But yeah, for now, it's just an unfortunate situation. Finally, Gary Xavier Gutierrez writes, my wife has family in Texas, in Plano and Austin. What's the best barbecue in Texas? I always hear nothing but great things about Franklin Barbecue. Like, that's kind of the cliche one out here in Austin. The other one is Love Barbecue out there in downtown as well. That's also good. My personal preference is actually Rudy's. I people think it's like, because it's a giant chain. And people think that because it's a chain, it like can't be considered in some of the discussions with like Black's Barbecue and these other like single restaurant type of situations. But I think Rudy's has the best brisket. They have a extra juicy brisket that is way better than all of the way too dried out brisket that they serve basically everywhere else. Pricing is actually really, really good there too. Their beans are good. Their barbecue sauce is my favorite barbecue sauce. It's got a kick to it, which is really good. And you know, you make your Texas taco there with a piece of white bread, throw some beans, some coleslaw, your meat of choice. Their turkey, man, I never thought that I would like you know, go out of my way for turkey and specifically white meat turkey. But wow, man, wow. Their turkey, it's like this smoked cracked pepper turkey that's, you know, got a little tang to it too. And that is really, really good. So that's my overall favorite there. And like, you know, look, this is what I say about like Mexican food too. The best Mexican food I'm ever going to eat is made by my family. It's made with these recipes that have been passed down generation after generation after generation. And, you know, here we are. So, I think some of the best barbecue that you're going to eat is get invited to a crawfish boil, get invited to a good old backyard barbecue. Come on over to my house. I think I'm pretty good at barbecuing. And that's the best food that you're going to have. Cause not only is it really, really good food, but like the company and the setting and like that stuff is second to none. We actually have a super comment, which means BG the Kid writes, Mets fan here. What are the Dodgers' weaknesses? Their lineup is stacked and pitching seems pretty legit despite some injuries. Well, starting pitching for one, their starting pitching has been ravaged, right? They don't have like the entire top half of their rotation. So like, you know, and even Yamamoto, who just pitched really well the other day to close out the Padres, he, I don't think, is 100% healthy. Buehler, clearly not healthy either. He hasn't been quite himself this year. Dustin May has been out now for basically a couple of years. Kershaw is now kind of old, so hard to really kind of rely on him. I'm blanking on the guy that they acquired, Glasnow. He is also hurt and out, and he was pitching really, really well this season before he went down. So they're starting pitching. When you lose like four or five starters, like that's going to have an impact. Their bullpen, I think, is second to basically none. They are on fire right now. They're the reason the bullpen is why the Dodgers beat the Padres flat out. And then, you know, like just get timely hitting. So I do kind of think that like one potential weakness is Mookie and Ohtani going through a slump at the wrong time. And then you have to rely on Muncy, who's kind of been hit or miss. Will Smith has been mostly miss. Their lineup hasn't been as intimidating in practice as it is in theory. Some injuries there also. So, yeah, I would say because like Freddie Freeman, I don't know how healthy he is. He wasn't moving very well at all during the Padres series. This is going to be a close ass series. I legitimately don't know which way this is going to go. The Mets are coming in with a ton of momentum. Dodgers also are winning two straight against the Padres. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great series. And I legitimately don't know who's going to win the World Series. It's a fantastic playoffs so far. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. Again, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. Tell your friends about the show, share the show, all of that stuff. I really appreciate that. Join the Discord and join the conversation that we have in there, on the variety of topics that we discuss in there. You can find me on Twitter, obviously, at Anthony or in LA. You can find this podcast everywhere it is that you get podcasts. And then also right after this, like literally 25 minutes from now, I'm going to be in the Basketball Passport Pod where, yeah, I've been putting episodes, the first four episodes, I've put them into this RSS feed. And that's now over. So you got to go find Basketball Passport wherever it is that you find your podcast. You can follow it on YouTube at youtube.com/@basketballpassport. That's our official one there. We'll be live from there in, again, about 20 minutes or so. And until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you later.